football in the Bible. Sorry. Wasn't around yet. But there are a fair bit of images in Scripture around sports. And so this morning I thought we would hold up one of the probably best loved passages. It talks about the race. It's in Hebrews chapter 12. It goes like this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight, the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I don't know if you noticed this week, in the midst of the deep freeze, there was a race going on in Minnesota. It's called the Arrowhead 135. It's one of these crazy ultra marathons that some people with mental issues run. Certainly something I don't think I would ever survive. It's crazy. It's 135 miles long. That's the 135. They run from International Falls, Minnesota to Tower, Minnesota, and they try and schedule it during the what they imagine is the coldest time of the year. Well, they got it right this year. And you can ski it, bike it, run it. It's up to you. You see some images of people this year doing it. That's running it. And at the end, you look sort of like that. Yeah. Now, you know how cold it was this past week. And up in Minnesota, it was a little bit colder. So they were dealing with wind chills into the negative 60s and 70s. As they went on this 135-mile ultra-marathon trek. Now, every year, out of all the contestants, roughly about half finish. Okay. This year, it was more like 35% finished. I think it's just amazing that nobody dies running this race, right? I mean, these are crazy ultra-marathons, super long-distance races, races of endurance. I can't even fathom running. And I imagine that for any participant in one of those kind of races, it's not about the time you finish in. It's about the goal to finish. Right? Just to finish. Now maybe, any of you run a marathon before? Yay! Well, way to go. We have one marathon runner out there. Awesome. Did you finish? Yes! Right? As the marathon goes, woo! Just finishing is a win. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I heard this other story, and it's funny, you know, when you're focusing on a passage and you're sort of studying it through the week, kind of mulling it over, God always puts different things out there for me to notice. And so I heard on Thursday the story of another race. This one took place in Thailand, where it was a little warmer, thankfully. Yeah. During the midst of the race, this woman, she's running along, and she sees runners ahead of her sort of dodging something in the racetrack on the road. Can't quite figure out what it is until she finally gets there and recognizes there's a puppy there, sort of lost and just running in amongst the people, right? Just the cutest little puppy, right? Well, she's like seven bowl where there is a winner and a loser. It's more about this goal of finishing together and cheering each other on as we do. William Barclay is a Scottish theologian, writer, and his commentary on this, he talked about this particular passage. He said, you know, I see this as the perfect summary of the Christian life. And I thought, as I looked at it more, I thought, yeah. And he sort of highlighted five truths that this passage brings out for us about the Christian life. The first one being really, the Christian life has a goal. It has a goal. There is an end in mind. And this is how Barclay describes that goal. He says, the Christian is not a tourist who returns each night to the place from which he starts. He is a pilgrim who is forever on the way. The goal, nothing less than the likeness of Christ. Christian life is going somewhere. And it would be well, I love this, if at each day's ending we were to ask ourselves, am I any farther on? Going back to the race. Am I any farther on in the likeness of Christ? Becoming more and more like Jesus. Pretty good goal. Then he goes on to say, now, in the Christian life, we also have, we have an inspiration. He talks about that great cloud of witnesses, right? And I don't know if you've ever run a race. My wife, for many years back in Colorado, ran a 10K called the Boulder Boulder. It's one of the premier 10K races in America, I guess. And the thing is, as you're running along the race route, one of the things that makes it a great race is that the whole community comes out. People sit out on their lawns, their front yards, and their driveways, and it's just a perpetual party along the whole race route. There are bands playing, people are cheering and yelling and hooting and hollering as you run by. My wife said it just made the race so much more enjoyable, knowing and experiencing all these people cheering me on like we cheered on our children this morning. And in fact, the race ends then in the stadium at the University of Colorado. She said, you run into the stadium and there's thousands of people and they're cheering. It doesn't matter who's running. Whoever is running. And they are cheering them on. And that's what our author conjures up here in the image, this great cloud of witnesses. He said, there is this mass of people in heaven. The saints who have gone before, and in chapter 11, he has described some of those saints, like Abraham and Moses and David, Isaac, Jacob, all these different saints. And he imagines they're there cheering us on in our journey of faith. Woo-hoo, yeah, come on, you can do it. Let's go, keep going, keep going. Run the race of faith. You don't run it alone. There is this cloud of witnesses. And make it more personal for you. Who are the people in your past, your history, that have helped develop your faith, helped you grow in Christ? And if they've passed on, know that they are part of that great cloud. They're cheering you on as well. Maybe it's grandparents, great-grandparents, aunts, uncles, great teachers in the past for you. They're there going, yes, you can do it. Keep going. Keep running. It's worth the work. Now, our passage also notes that in the Christian life, we have a handicap. It talks about it as the sin that clings and entangles us, right? That traps us, that holds us back. And I wonder if the author isn't thinking of some of the earliest Olympic Games. In those days, the Olympic Games had been going on for a few hundred years by then. And the runners in those days would come out in big robes, glorious, colorful robes. A little more glorious than this, thankfully. And then right before the race start, they would get to their mark, and then they would disrobe, because that would be a hindrance. You might get all tangled up in your robe. So they would drop the robes, and there would be this pile of robes at the starting line. And they would take that off and then run unhindered. I wonder if that's a maybe we don't even notice them sometimes. They're just there, but we need to assess it and say, I get rid of it. And I don't know what it might be for you. Maybe it's issues with anger, maybe greed, maybe lust. I don't know. There's all sorts of possibilities, of course. What are the things that trip us up, keep us from running the race well? Just have to acknowledge it and confess it honestly to God and say, God, I want to get rid of this. I want to take it off that road so that it doesn't hinder me any longer. So consider, what is the sin that entangles us? But then the passage goes on to note that thankfully in the Christian life we have this great example. We get to fix our eyes on the pioneer perfecter of our faith, it says, on Christ. Why fix our eyes on him? I mean, the great cloud of witnesses, that'd be kind of cool. They're all cheering. Let's fix our eyes on them. But they're all fixed on Christ. Because, of course, he's the one who has run the race before us perfectly, without sin, without blemish. The one who endured everything, who went through all the suffering and pain of the cross. He's the beginner of the race, the author of it all, and the perfecter, the one who helps to finish it, to wrap it up, and calling us to finish it well. So we get to look to him as the great example, knowing that the race is going to be hard. Christian life was never something promised as easy. In fact, there are plenty of passages Jesus reminds us, this will be difficult. But if we set our eyes on him and fix our gaze upon Christ, who went through it all, endured it all for our sake, we take courage to know that he's gone through it before us. We can too. And the key in it all is this idea of endurance. Any ultra marathon, any long race like that, it's going to take endurance. It comes up several times in our passage this morning, this word, endurance. Strength for the long haul. Amazingly, there are longer races out there than the Arrowhead 135. There are ultra marathons that just are mind-boggling. I read about one this week. It took place in Australia. They ran it for several years. Get this, 544 miles. What? Right? That is a crazy ultra marathon. It ran from Sydney to Melbourne. Not very many people ran this race. And the first year they decided to host this, as people are getting ready, and there are world-class ultra-marathoners getting ready who are in shape and young and fit, this 61-year-old gentleman walks up. And he's got on overalls and galoshes over his boots because he knows the weather is going to rain sometime during the race. And he says, I want to run. The race organizers are sort of like, what? Really? I mean, come on. You're not a runner. He says, no, I want to try. So they said, well, okay. They sign him up. They give him a little race number. He tacks it onto his overalls. A race bib. A bib. I love it. And everybody in the crowd is just going, what? His name was Cliff Young, by the way. This guy was a potato farmer. Doing running an ultra marathon, 544 miles. Well, everybody sets off, and he's the slowest out of the gate, obviously, and people are laughing at him and joking about it, saying, this guy is crazy, he'll never finish. Well, 5 days later, that's the kind of time it takes to run 544 miles. Who's first in Melbourne? It's Cliff Young. Somehow, 5 days, 14 hours, and 4 minutes, wins the race by about 9 hours. How in the world does that happen? Well, this was a gentleman who had this crazy amount of endurance, and nobody told him that ultra marathoners, when you do these multiple hundreds of miles races, that you run for like 17, 18 hours, and then you stop and you sleep for a few hours to kind of recuperate and then run again. He just ran straight for 5.5 days. What? 4 years earlier.